Alexa, who is our second speaker?
Ellen Koch works as reintegration coach at Phoenix. She started her career at the police force, where she worked as a crime analyst for 12 years. Her own company, Phoenix Reintegration, specializes in advising organizations in how to deal with employees with extra challenges. She helps people with a handicap, disease, or a trauma to return to their job.
Wow. That's great, isn't it, Alex?
So, Ellen, we know each other already. So, is there anything you'd like to add?
Well, no. She introduced me quite well. That's exactly what I'm doing at the moment, yeah.
So, to help you explain a little bit what your current life is and what you, as a voice experience expert, happens every day in your life, we have a little video. Let's start with that.
Hello, my name is Ellen Koch. I'm a reintegration consultant. I'm legally blind. That is to say, people consider me as blind, whereas I can see a little bit. But I have to use braille for reading. I have to use speech for reading. Voice support is really very, very important. For example, in my professional life, I travel a lot. I have to do that by public transport. Now, you can see that you've got a tram stop and you've got a metro station. And at the tram stop, you've got a big post with a button. And when you push that button, you get loads of information about which tram is departing at what time. That, of course, is very handy. But the thing is, when there is a tram coming on, I'd like to know which tram that is. Now, in the metro station, as you can see, they have found another solution, which is working very, very well. When there is a metro approaching the central station, they tell you which metro it is. Now, this is my radio and television set. Now, the thing is, I only have internet radio. When I put the radio on, I know that it is this button. So I put it on. I hope it's on. When the internet radio finds the station at once, I can hear that it is on. But sometimes it doesn't. I use just my phone, because it's for me, it's much more easier to use. You have to know special movements to use the voiceover. But this iPhone, for me, it's the best device that I use in my professional life as well as in my private life. If only they would just make these things so that it just tells you what you are doing, life would be so much easier.
Oh, and now we see your logo on the screen.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you don't see, Ellen. I think people get that now. Can you shortly, because everybody always wonders, how did you lose your sight?
Well, I lost my sight when I was almost 2 years old. My parents had three children, and two of the children had a flu infection, a belly infection. And on the market, they just introduced a special medicine. It was called enterovioform. Please forget the name immediately, because it's not on anymore. But it causes, it damages the nerves in your back and in your eyes. It caused a lot of blind people in Japan and in South America, and it did also in Europe. And yeah, I won the lottery also, so that's how I lost my sight.
Tough shit. Oh,
yeah,
that's tough.
It's rather tough, yeah.
Hey, and so we just saw your video about what you need to deal with every day, as to put it in my happy world, a voice expert.
Yeah.
So is there anything you'd like to put an emphasis on that we just saw? Because we don't know. That's what I always realize when I talk with you.
Yeah, well, the fact that not every device is voice supported makes me so dependent on other people. For example, I got a lovely neighbor. It's a lovely man. He's almost every day he's there, but I forbid him to go on holiday, because if my radio set just got stuck in the menu, I have to call him to get it out again. So he can't go on holiday. That's really, I attached him to his, to the kitchen chair.
Right.
No, I'm making a joke of it, but what it does is it makes me dependent, and that's so hard. That's what you don't want to be. See, yeah. That's how it influenced my life.
Right. You can't cycle. You can't drive. Like, how did you get here today?
Sorry. That is very. It's very posh. I took a taxi. I'm
nice.
Sorry.
See, I cycled, but then again. Hey, and so just to dive into this. So how many people in Holland are have a bad sight or are blind?
That is very hard to tell, but it's more than 250,000 people. And most of them is above the age of 50, 60.
Right. So it's a large group. Because also that, I mean, I did not look into this, and that was very... impactful to my situation. And if you look at the whole group of people who continuously need guidance in a way through voice and non-visual means, what is their biggest challenge? I mean, what is daily, in any form, what is their issue that we can help?
Well, you know, just most of the time your life exists of two parts, your private life and your professional life. And in the private life, it's just things like putting on, you know, I live on my own. I've got a washing machine, I've got an oven, I've got a television set and a radio set, and I've got a computer which I have to use every day. I have to do my shopping, try to order them by internet, for example. Now, for example, a simple thing like putting on my washing machine. I have to think out all kinds of tricks to put it on the right program. If it was only telling me on which program it was, my life would be very easy doing my washing. Because your washing machine, there's an English comic who made a joke about it. It asks you a lot of questions. On which temperature, is it wool washing, what do you want it to do? I mean, it's on a display, and there's no voice that tells me what there is. So, I mean, how can I answer these questions? So I just have to hope that I put on the right program, and most of the time it works out well, but that's only because of routine.
Right.
Now, you see what happened with my radio set. It's quite dramatic, because it happens, I think, I'm not exaggerating, this happens 6 times a week, that I have to call my neighbor and ask me, please help me out. The same goes for my oven. I more or less know on which temperature it is, but, you know, it's a display. Everything is display guided, and that makes me dependent.
Right. So, I mean, we are here always talking about voice. And, of course, that's why you're invited here. Have you ever worked with a smart speaker?
No, not yet. No. And I'm quite willing to do it. So if anyone can help me to a smart speaker to try it out,
well,
it would be great.
This was the end, but let's do it already. So I got you one.
Oh, wow.
Because I want to ask you... I don't know if I can help it or your neighbor, because I don't want to take away his role. But I'd love for you to use it and explore and report back, literally, how well it is, but also how not good it is and what you're still missing. Because I think anyone who can see, it has a different view than somebody who doesn't. So I think that's very important.
Thank you very much, Martin. That is very nice of you. Thank you.
Hey, but so you do use Siri, I understand, correct?
Yes, yes. Oh, I've only got one little question. How does it, I mean, don't tell me that it's written on this box how it works, because...
No comment.
Maybe
what is your neighbor called? We'll give him a bottle of wine, I guess.
Marion.
Yeah, but Siri, you already use Siri. I mean, you do
yes,
use your phone.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I do use my phone. Yeah, and I'm very glad. I'm using an iPhone. I'm not working for Apple. No. The other smartphones have got VoiceOver as well. What I like about my phone is that it tells me everything. I can do almost everything. Of course, there are some apps like, sorry to call their name, like Blendl and stuff like that. It's very nice, but I can't use it because so it is inaccessible for voiceover.
Mm. And what is voiceover, man?
Voiceover means it's the voice that talks to you. You call it Siri, but when I use my phone, it just tells me on which icon I've put my finger. It sounds like Siri, but it isn't Siri. It's using the same voice. That's what makes it a bit confusing, maybe. But it just it's a voice over that tells you everything that you're doing. So open WhatsApp, tells me what chats there are, open up the chats, and all that kinds of things. It just tells you what you are doing, what you just did, what you are going to do. Sometimes it's a bit menacing, but okay. As long as I'm in charge.
So, as a voice evangelist, I think that you, in your life, in your circumstance, have overcome lots of challenges and answered questions that us voice developers, voice thinkers, whatever you want to call us, voice designers, still need to overcome. I mean, one just being, I mean, look at all the car drivers now who literally are not allowed to look at their phone and need to interact because they need to Facebook, Instagram, I don't know what they do. But so I'm really interested. So what could we learn or what should we learn in this up and coming voice world that you already know?
Well, what I'd like to... Well, you call yourself a voice evangelist, but maybe I am as well. What I'm hoping to let the people realize is that everything in this society is visual. We've got displays. We've got boards all over the street. And I'd like the society to be voice guided, that it is normal when I go to a pin machine, that I can plug in my earphone and that it tells me which button is which and how I can, you know, take money out of the wall. That when I put my washing machine on, it goes talking to me. Of course, we don't have to exaggerate. You know, when I open up my fridge, I don't want it to say to me, "Welcome to the fridge. You just opened it." That's a bit too much.
People from Albert Heijn are here. It's a lesson. Yes.
But just make it. It's just the fact that if you can't see, there's so many things you can't do just because there's displays and not a voice that tells you what's on it. So I wish it that it would be normal that voice guidance is everywhere. That's my dream. See, nice. I have a dream, you know.
Yes, let's do it. And I think one of the other things we discussed earlier is the fact that the growth of the people who can hardly see or don't is mostly old people. So now you people here who are in the room, I mean, I have no clue, but a percentage at one point in their life will be in a voice-only world and not because of their choosing.
No, that's true. That's partly because we get older. And because we get older, there are more people that are visually impaired. And that's also reinforced by the fact that we're spoiling our eyes by our iPads, iPhones, and all that kind of thing. So also for that, also for, you know, saving our eyes, it would be nice if we had the voice guidance everywhere so that we don't have to stare on our eye screens the whole day, because that's really bad for our eyes.
Nice, I like that one. Against iPhones, against screens, yay. Let's start a movement. So let's open up for questions. Who has a question for Ellen? Right here up front.
Hi Ellen, it's Marianne, hi. Last time we spoke, you mentioned sometimes your phone is arguing with itself when you have voices from, I think it was Google Maps. Can you tell a little bit more about the confliction of voices?
The conflict, oh yeah. I had an appointment. Oh yeah, that was very nice. I had an appointment with a friend of mine, with Marion, actually, in the Staatsliedenbuurt. And I used voice maps to guide me to that special location. But the thing is, I got on my iPhone two or three different navigation programs. And I don't know how, but they all came into effect on the same time. So what happened, because they were talking in the same voice, I didn't know which program was telling me which where to go. So I've seen the whole Staatsliederbuurt. It was really...
That is an issue.
That is an issue, yeah.
Okay, cool. Who's next? We got one in the back, left.
Hi, thank you for your very educational remarks. This is making me think about design in many different ways. My experience with my grandmother when she was losing her sight was that she really liked some of the old appliances. For instance, the microwave where you would turn the timer, or the washing machine. And she also had trouble with these digital interfaces. So would you prefer that we added voice to these interfaces or perhaps a tactile element?
No, well, the thing is the tactile elements are a bit gone because the microwaves and the washing machines and things like that have become so complicated that you can't... The tactile buttons do not require the functionalities that they need nowadays. That's why you can't use it anymore, I think. That's why they can't use it anymore. So I think we are dependent on the voice guidance. We can't go back to the old days where you just turned the button and it switched on.
So right you are. I was just thinking, I do like the rotary phone, but I so wouldn't use it. But it is a nostalgic feel. Let's do one more question. Yes, you know where some...
Ellen, last year we had a meeting at Radboud University about more or less the same topic as you are addressing now. And I was wondering, your biggest wish, is that something like a central agent in your home where you can talk to and it's doing everything, or do you prefer that each device has its own voice and own way of speaking to and listening at?
Well, actually, I don't like to be dependent on only one device, so on one agent that I can talk to and does everything for me, because if that has died, I'm completely stuck. That's why I say I'd like to have that every device has its own talkability. But, of course, it's very handy, only one agent in your house, but... There you got big challenge. When it's not working, you're stuck.
Nice. Make it like the internet.
Maybe I'd like to have them both. I think that's what I'd like to have. I'd like to have it both.
Good. You can want it all. Well, with that, everybody, thank you very much, Ellen.